Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. Richard's in the studio, while Bob and I, once again, are joining you from the site of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Orlando, Florida. Lots of meetings, as I said yesterday, and even more today, and we're connecting with longtime friends and new friends in Christian ministry. But right now, we are here for Basic Gospel, and the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. If you have a question, something you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is an exciting month for us. Easter is just around the corner, and that always raises questions. You know, there's skeptics out there wondering if Jesus Christ actually existed. If he did exist, did he actually die on a cross? Was he actually buried, as the Bible relates? And did he actually come back to life? Was the resurrection true? And so those questions have been being asked for 2,000 years. Yeah. Certainly in this age of digital communication with the internet, those skeptics, their voices are being amplified and raising a lot of doubts within people's hearts and minds about the validity of the Word of God and the validity of Christ and his finished work on the cross. Right. Well, that's what we're going to tackle this month. We're going to answer the skeptics. We're going to look at all of those questions that they raise and address them as the Word of God speaks to each and every one of them. This Christianity, it's not a leap in the dark. We don't put our minds on the shelf, as so many people try to say that we have to do. Yeah. You know, I've heard scientists say that if you're a Christian and you walk by faith, then you've just put your mind on a shelf or turned it to the off position and are just walking blindly. Well, that's not the case at all. Christianity is a reasonable faith. We can examine the evidence and come to grips mentally with the fact that this is the most plausible answer. The reason things are the way that they are, I think Christianity gives the best answer that we could ever imagine.
Without question.
So we're going to talk about apologetics this month. I'm very excited about this. I get stoked. I love hearing questions from skeptics. I love to hear what's on their mind. You know, there's folks that are trying to put new twists on their on their skepticisms. But, you know, the Bible is very clear and has an answer for each and every one. Also, I'm so excited. We're offering a great resource this month, a book called Cold Case Christianity. Mm-hmm. A homicide detective investigates the claims of the gospel. So it's written by J. Warner Wallace. He was a homicide detective in the L.A. County Department. He was a skeptic. He was an atheist. And for some reason, he decided to take his homicide skills, his detective skills, and apply those to the evidence concerning the gospel, concerning Christ Jesus, concerning the validity of the resurrection. Was it true? Is it just something that people made up? And after he worked through that and worked through all of his ways to examine evidence, he came to the point and said it's overwhelming that the story of Jesus is true, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And in this, if you are a skeptic, if you have questions about Christianity, this will help you examine the evidence and come to grips with it, that you can actually have a rock-solid faith in Jesus Christ, one where heart and mind match.
Yes.
You're not putting the mind on your on the shelf. You've realized that your mind, as far as the gospel is concerned, is fully engaged and more active than in any other philosophy. So that's exciting. So if that's you, you're a skeptic, you're trying to find answers, reasonable answers to your questions, I think this is a wonderful resource for you. If you are answering questions of skeptics and you're not sure how to answer those. We want to put this resource in your hands as well. Again, it is a wonderful book. I've had the opportunity to read through it. It is our hope to get the author on with us this month.
That'd be great.
We're going to have a couple of other people joining us this month to talk through apologetics. So we're excited. If you're interested in this book, Cold Case Christianity, it is available. Just go to our website, basicgospel.net. Click the big, huge display that we have right on the front page, and it will take you to a place where you can order it, make a contribution, and then we will send this resource to you as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel. Yeah. But this is a powerful, wonderful, well-written book. The publisher informed us it's their most popular book that they've ever published, that they've ever printed. So obviously it is scratching a niche within the Christian community, and we want to put it in your hands as well. Again, Cold Case Christianity, a homicide detective investigates the claims of the Gospels.
And a copy can be yours simply for your gift this month to Basic Gospel, everybody. Simply go online to basicgospel.net, and you can click donate on any page at our website. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Richard, take it away.
Okay, well, we've got a call waiting for
us. Here's what we want to do.
Never mind.
Okay, well, never mind. Bob, you had something you wanted to share.
Well, I thought, you know, as far as skeptics and their questions, it really points to two things, Jesus and the Word of God. That's where they attack. That's where the voices that are anti-Christianity, anti-God, anti-Jesus, that's where they point their finger, always to Jesus Christ. You know, here's what the Gospels say, but that can't be true. And so they bring into question Jesus himself. And so in bringing into question Jesus himself, they're asking the question, well, who was he? If he really was a historical figure, who was he? So that question has been being posed year after year after year. Some of the magazines always devote one issue of their magazine, like Newsweek, every year to that question. Who is Jesus? Finding the real Jesus. Discovering the real Jesus. And they're bringing up all kinds of information, and all they do is raise more questions. Yeah. So they never come to grips with that answer. Well, Jesus knew all about that, and so he gathered his disciples at a place called Caesarea Philippi. The story's recorded for us in Matthew 16. It's a wonderful story, one of my favorite stories in the gospel accounts. But he asked the question of them, what are people saying about me? And so they had heard the crowd speak, and so they passed on the information. They said, some are saying you're Elijah, some are saying you're this or that or some other prophet. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus turns the question on them, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? Yeah. And I think that's the most compelling question that's ever been asked. And the answer to that, your answer, if you're listening right now, your answer to that question is going to take you one direction or another. It is the watershed question. Yeah. So who do you say that Jesus is? Well, the only way you're going to find out is through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That's the most accurate information that's ever been recorded about Jesus Christ, and a revelation from God himself, opening up your heart, your eyes, your mind, to see Jesus for exactly who he is, and coming to grips with the claims that he made about himself. So to start a month on apologetics, I think that's the question where we have to start. Yeah. Who do you say that Jesus is? Mm-hmm. Peter stood, and he gave just the exact right answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know, Peter, that is correct, but that information didn't come to you by normal means. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. So if we're going to know truth about Jesus, we're going to have to examine the evidence, but we're also going to have a revelation from God the Father himself about Jesus Christ as far as who he is in our lives. And for Peter, he came to that place and recognized him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. That answer freed him from the powers of sin and death, mm-hmm. and moved him down a new path of eternal life through faith in Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's where this starts, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it is. And it makes sense to start there, because everything that we believe is predicated on who Jesus is. So if he didn't exist, or if he isn't who he claimed to be, or any of those kinds of issues, then this belief system that we have is pointless. So start at the foundation, start at the beginning, and work from there.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, well,
let's go to our questions, Richard.
Yeah, our friend Clay from Thorndale is on the line, and he's got a question for us. Hi, Clay, how are you doing?
Hey, doing good. I'm going to enjoy this month. And after I hang up, give me a good definition of apologetics. But my question today was the exact same thing. It came from another Christian, thinking that there's a discrepancy between. He said, "Why does it say Israel was in captivity in Egypt 400 years, and another place says 430?" You know, and I said, "Well, both of them were wrong. Neither one of them are right as far as captivity." And I said, you can see the evidence in it in Galatians 3:16 and 17 when it talks about the promise made to Abraham's seed. And the deal is, who do you say I am? Every time I read the Old Testament or the law, it points to who do you say he is, and it's fulfilled in him. And if you got time, I know that's a long, long thing to go through, is that Galatians 3:16 and 17. But until I started studying this, I didn't realize that seed of Abraham, when I realized it, it's really speaking of the forthcoming of the seed of God, Jesus Christ.
Well, I think you're exactly right. When God made the promise to Abraham, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed, Paul really gives that the real meaning. And he says the seed is not many, it's talking about one, and that seed is Jesus Christ himself. And so the blessing of God that flows through to the world flows through Jesus. So once we have faith in Jesus, we receive that blessing. We receive what God has had for us all along, and that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's the gospel story. It's interesting, when God made that covenant with Abraham, he went through the normal means of ratifying a covenant. They cut an animal in two. And normally when two parties made a covenant, they would both walk in between the animal, and in doing so would ratify their covenant one with another. Well, when this covenant was ratified, Abraham was asleep, and it was only God that walked through. So he was saying that, I have promised and I will deliver. It doesn't depend upon the behavior of man, or man doesn't really have a part in it. They're just going to receive the blessing. Well, that's the same that's true of the new covenant. This is a covenant that God basically made, and he has brought it about through Jesus, and we're simply the beneficiaries. We are blessed because of the work of Christ. So God promised, God delivered in the person of Jesus. So this covenant that God made with Abraham finds its ultimate fulfillment in this new covenant that we live in today. And as believers, we can't mix the old with the new. That's a mixed message. That's what's tripping up so many believers around the world today. We have to come to grips with the fact the old had a purpose. That purpose was to show us our need for Christ. And once it shows us that purpose, once it's fulfilled its purpose, then it steps aside and gives way to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And he ushers us into this new covenant, and that's where we stand, that's where we lead, that's where we live. And so as believers, we are new covenant believers. Now that law, it's kind of interesting. God had told Abraham that the people of Israel would be in slavery to Egypt for 400 years. And then we see 430 in Galatians, and it's just saying the law was introduced 430 years later. So there was this covenant that was made, and then this second covenant that was made, the 430 years. And as you rightly point out, Clay, that's all about Jesus.
And so that's good news. So what about apologetics? What is going to be our definition for apologetics this month on this study? Is it like dissecting the word? I'll let you finish all this on the radio, okay?
Well, the word apologetics, we find it in 1 Peter, where he says, if anyone asks, have a defense for the gospel, for the hope that lives within you. So that word defense in the Greek is apologia, and we get our word apology or apologetics. And so it's simply defending the gospel. So if somebody has a question about the validity of the Word of God, a question about the person and work of Jesus Christ, our answers to those questions become apologies, defenses, making the case for these things being true, being reliable, being authoritative in our lives. So we see many skeptics out there raising those questions. We defend by giving solid, reasonable answers concerning the Word of God and the person and work of Jesus Christ. So it is a defense of the gospel. Richard, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that is a great synopsis of what that means. It's not saying I'm sorry. It's saying, here's why I believe.
Yes, absolutely. You are taking a stand on the gospel message and presenting it out there to the world and saying, this is why you should believe this message to be true.
Yeah. Well, Clay, thank you for your question, and we always enjoy hearing from you. If you have a question, friends, we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us. Again, give us a call, 844-322-2742. If you have a question you've been holding on to, don't hold on to it. Go ahead and call right now. We want to hear from you and answer that question, get it out of the way for you. 844-322-2742. Richard?
Yeah, we've got an email question here from a woman named Teresa who writes from Arizona. She says, I don't attend church, and church is in quotes, anymore. I grew up going to church, but about 6 years ago, I started learning about how when Christians meet, we should all be able to participate. We started meeting with a small group of believers based on 1 Corinthians 14:26. I understand the Bible talks about elders and bishops and their roles, but I don't understand how that means only a few are the ones who get to teach and or participate. Every believer has a gift that they are given to be used for the body of Christ. All believers are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and He is the teacher. I like that if someone wants to bring a song or teaching or encouragement or whatever, they are able to share. Like it says in Hebrews that we meet to provoke love and stir up good works and exhorting one another. So how any thoughts we have to offer, she would appreciate. How does this, the New Testament church, the house church, that was so common in the first century, relate to church as we kind of know it today from an organizational and just the whole viewpoint of what church is?
Well, I think we start with that question, what is the church? And the church really isn't an organization. It's not a denomination. It's not a building, per se, where Christians gather and meet. The church really is the body of Christ. That is the universal church of God. It is made up of every single person who has ever come to faith in Jesus.
Yes.
So those saints of old who received Christ thousands of years ago all the way up to the present, they constitute the church of God. So we have an active church today spread all over the planet. So there are Christians in just about every nook and cranny of this place we call planet Earth. Well, all of those are tied together as one organism by the Spirit of God, bound together by this new covenant, and we make up the church, the body of Christ. Every single member has been gifted by the Holy Spirit, and we have been gifted to help edify the body so that the body can fulfill its ultimate mission out there in the world today. So it's not just all about us. It's about us reaching out and incorporating more and more people into this body of believers that we know as the church. So that's what it is. Now, that we've been called to meet together, and I think any believer who has truly been born again has a desire built within them to connect with other believers. Mm-hmm. I think that's just God-given. That's something that we want. That's something that we crave. That's something that we need. We need to really connect with one another. Why? Because we belong to one another. We're joined to one another by this grace of God through faith in Jesus. That's what binds us together. So we want to meet. Now, what does that look like? Well, sometimes it looks like two or three believers meeting together over lunch or over dinner. Sometimes it's more, maybe 15 or 20, gathering together to read the Word, to pray together, talk about things that are going on in their lives. All of that constitutes a church meeting, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And then for some others, it means a big mega church where the body assembles together and they go through a church service, and then they meet in smaller groups and community groups or whatever. So there's a lot of choices of how we can participate, how we can get connected to other members of the body. So I don't think we can ever say, you know, my way is better than your way, is better than somebody else's way. There's a lot of freedom, a lot of personal choices, and in all of those, it's just a matter of being connected. You know, a lot of times as people go and visit churches and, you know, the pastor stands up, there's a group of people on the worship team. As all of those things happen, the folks in the audience think they're being left out. But I guarantee you that is the least important aspect of what's going on in that particular church.
Yes.
The important stuff is happening behind the scenes in small groups, in Sunday school classes, in little fellowships that meet in people's homes. That's where church is really taking place. That big church service oftentimes is just kind of a calling card for folks out there in the world to come and get connected. Mm-hmm. So if you're comfortable with a house church, a small group, praise God. That's exactly where you need to be. But don't necessarily lash out at others who don't necessarily agree with you on that.
Yeah.
So you go and find a place that you're comfortable in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Just very quickly, Brian, if you could get your call in. We've only got about a half a minute.
No problem. First of all, thank you for taking my call. You bless me every afternoon when I'm on my way back from my work. My question is, I right now go to a Baptist church. I've been almost in every church you can think of. You know, all my life I've sought the truth. I want the truth. And I see the Holy Spirit working in my life, and in my experience, the gifts of the Spirit, which the Baptist Church doesn't recognize really that much, are just as active today as they were in the early church. It depends on your fervency.
Well, when
let
me jump in there, Brian, because we're about 40 seconds before we go off the air. You know, I think every single church is going to believe that gifts are still active. Some that will say there's a couple that aren't active, like the gift of tongues and maybe some other gift, the gift of healing. They, you know, some of them say those things have ceased. But they're going to say the gift of teaching, the gift of encouragement, the gift of leadership, all of those are still very much active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it gets down to those two. And I think we have to realize that if God wants to gift somebody with any gift, that's his discretion. That's his prerogative.
Yeah.
And with that, we have to go off the air.
Yeah, time management is an issue, and we're out of it. We'll be back for another edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. See you then. Bye-bye.